Yep.
There you go. Perfect. Nice growth.
Yeah, thanks. You gotta, you know, keep it, my hair, my beard, you know, I just keep it going. A lot of guys in my office have beards now.
It's a riot.
We did a Zoom call and it was funny seeing everybody.
I know.
You don't have anything to worry.
Well, no, nothing. I buzz it every Sunday and, it's always the same. I've been doing that for about, I don't know, 15 years.
All right. Hey, well, it works. It's easy, right?
It's easy. Yeah. Everybody else is growing ponytails and things.
I think Jen just joined.
All right.
I am. I'm here.
Hi. Hi, Jen.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Good. I always tell people that it's okay if you don't want us to see you.
I can't seem to get my camera to work on my system.
Yeah, look down at the bottom left hand corner where it shows the camera. Sometimes you have sometimes there's a line across it which says.
You know, when I click on that, it's looking for like an external camera, not the one that's built into the laptop.
It should be autopilot. So Rick, where are we on, first of all, what's on your mind? Then tell me what's going on with Supernova.
So I had, obviously there's a lot happening in the world right now. Obviously we've got, you know, I've been circling wagons and making lots of phone calls and talking to people, and I've been really lucky as far as my clientele for the most part has stayed pat. You know, they haven't really changed. I mean, we've as far as strategy goes, I've really focused a lot with my retired clients on making sure that they have 3 years worth of cash flow. Mm-hmm. And that's CDs and cash. And so, you know, as unfortunately as CDs have come due, we got to renew them into the money markets at 0.5%, but you know, that's better than being down 10 right now. So, you know, I feel like I've got good positions for the majority of my clients in their accounts. So it's just continuing to keep cash flow going. I mean, they're comforted by the fact that we've done that planning to this point. And, most people have just said, let's just stay the course. And I've actually had some people, putting more money to work. I've been in the process of taking IRAs and, you know, mutual fund positions where I can and converting them to managed money. So I've added a couple, probably $2 million into managed money, since this whole thing started, just from the existing book. So converting stuff that was 25 basis points to, you know, 90 basis points in a percent. So I'm happy about that. I mean, production wise, I'm actually up 12% from where I was last year, just because of things that I've been doing over the course of the year. Cause I don't know if you remember from, I mean, our last call that where we actually talked about anything was our first call. And that was regarding, you know, I was telling you about my team, and the team that I'm on is out of Greenwich, Connecticut. And, so I'm like a satellite of that group,
right?
And I'm connected to them because we have a $100 million family that we work with. And, so really when Tim Burns came to me in the end of the year and said that he was talking about the Supernova program, you know, it looked like a good, I mean, how could I pass up the opportunity to do something like that to straighten out my book? And the biggest challenge or the biggest questions right now are, I mean, how do we go about, you know, carving out, you know, these clients? I mean, I've read the book. So, I mean, I understand the concepts. I printed off my, you know, my top 30 clients, and some of those clients are households. So it's the, you know, the main household, but then they have children or grandchildren that are part of the household. So, you know, I've counted those as one, as one account, one household, but you know, there's different divisions to those households. And then I've got some clientele that are been around forever and produce, you know, less than $500 a year in commissions. And so, you know, some of those people are, it's easy to see how, you know, why and how we need to get rid of them, just to kind of clean up the book. So there's definitely, you know, I probably found 20 people that I can very easily do that with from the book right now without a problem. I was wondering, you know, before the call, I saw Bill Good was putting out a big marketing piece that had to do with a strategy for coronavirus and contacts and communication and strategy. And, you know, I think that part of what we're going to be doing here is going to kind of play into that just from the 12, you know, you're this right. 12-3-1 context.
Yeah.
12-3-2. So, you know, it's funny. I mean, as I sit here, I haven't really done a lot of, I have done no Zoom reviews. I've done a lot of just calling people on the phone, and most people from my book are, they're just happy to have a conversation, but they're really not interested in doing like a full blown review because there's not a lot to really, there's so many uncertainties. So,
all right. So let's kind of go back and, you know, this is a football supernova, you know, just so we, get a good baseline to start from. Your, absolute minimum is the average of your practice, your revenues divided by your total number of clients. You can divide it by 100, which is the, you know, the maximum number we have under Supernova.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you your absolute minimum. And then we look at the top 20% of your practice, and I take out your biggest account because it skews things. But look at everything except for that one account. That's all I...
And that's what I did. I mean, you know, it's kind of unique that, you know, the $100 million account is up in Greenwich, Connecticut. So that's got the 409 branch code to it, whereas everything I ran was a 341 branch code.
Okay, good. So what would your average look like? And then what would your, we call that the target minimum is the, meaning if we bring in clients that look like those people,
mm-hmm.
We do it consistently, then we double our business in a couple of years.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, if I look at my average and take just use the 100 as the number,
yep.
It's about 750, 760.
Yeah. That was the number we had before, right?
Yeah. So I said my absolute minimum was 750. But I mean, if somebody's coming to me with $500,000 and I know they've got another $500,000 sitting at a 401k and they're getting ready to retire, I mean, I'm not going to not take that
right.
account.
But those are the exceptions. And that's the mentality you got to have is that, our minimum is $750,000. The rule of common sense takes over when you get the CEO of a company and he brings you $250,000, but he's got $20 million behind it.
Right.
Right. So
right.
That's obvious. But what we don't want to do is prospect for $750,000. We want to prospect for our target minimum, which would be the top 20% of your practice. What would that look like?
So the top 20 clients?
Yeah, just take the top 20 clients and what's the average of their production?
Okay, hold on.
I It's going to probably be close to 2.5 million is what typically.
Yeah, I'll have it here in a second. Yeah, you're close to that. I mean, if I just ballpark this, I mean, I've got, you know, a couple of accounts that are 4 million, a couple that are 7 million, and then a couple that are 1 point. So yeah, let's say 2.5 million.
Okay. So when you tell CPAs and other people, centers of influence, what's your minimum? You tell them 2.5 million.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the mindset you get around it. So you're not prospecting for $1 million clients anymore. You're prospecting for 2.5 million to 5 million.
Okay.
All right. It just changes you fish in a different part of the pond.
Right. Okay.
And then we look at your absolute maximum, depending on, I always tell people, you know, they say, how many clients can I have? I said, how hard do you want to work? How long, how many hours do you want to work? You know, you want to work nights and weekends, you can have more clients. Most people say, I don't think that's what I want. So based on Supernova, where we kind of take out about half of your time for organization, bathroom breaks, and prospecting, that gives you half a day. That's 100 clients. Okay?
Okay.
So your absolute minimum becomes 100 clients. And you can do the math with me if you want to, but that's basically, no matter what, the number of hours in the day doesn't change. And
right.
And the amount of time it takes to do 12-4-2 doesn't change. So
right.
That's where we get the 100 clients. The average person, after they've done Supernova for 2 or 3 years, has 70 clients. So and 70 is better than 100. It's sort of the opposite of the way we always thought. When we got to 50 clients, we wanted 100. When we had 100, we won 200. When we had 200, we won 400.
Right.
Now we get down from 300 to 100, and we're like, no, we want to be 70, maybe even 50. 70 gives you 4 calls a day. 100 gives you 5 calls a day.
Okay.
4 is fewer than 5, and that's so 4 is better than 5, assuming that you want to use the other time to improve your lifestyle or grow your practice.
No, I get it. I get it. No, this is good. I mean, you know, as a candid side comment to all this, I mean, I have, I shouldn't say candid, but I mean, one of the goals that I have over the next couple of years of my life is, I have a health and wellness trainings that I've been doing, like Reiki and, nutrition. And so that's a something that I have a passion for. And I actually created a side company called Wisdom One, which, my goal is to take and to teach, brokers how to, be more connected to their minds through meditation, through, more mindful practice in life. And, that's something that as this tightens up on this side, it's an area where I want to put some other time to help other brokers and executives.
You might remember the chapter that we wrote on toughness training for life and, the power of full engagement by Jim Lehrer. So you and I are in complete sync on this. You know, in order to have ideal performance state, whether you're at life, whether you're at work or you're at home, you have to be engaged. It isn't the amount of time you put in, it's the amount of energy you put in and the amount of focus that you have. And in order to have great focus, you have to have great recovery.
Right.
Your recovery comes from proper amount of sleep, exercise, diet, and being the right mindset, right? So all areas of your life kind of come together. And so meditation, yoga, good aerobic exercise. At the same time, you're getting 8 hours of sleep and eating properly. You feed your body properly and it responds in a dramatic way of improving your energy and your focus. And therefore, in a typical 8 hour work time, your productivity is exponential compared to other people because you're not having crashes in the middle of the day because you're feeding yourself, positive energy as well as a little bit of food and water and a little tiny bit of exercise in between each call, et cetera, to keep your energy up so you don't have these troughs and crashes. So yeah, in week three, we cover that. But The Power of Full Engagement is one of the books I recommend, and you'll love Jim Lehrer. He's a fabulous, he's retired now, but he's a wonderful writer and a psychologist and trained Olympic athletes and, you know, some of the greatest, the Blue Angels and, you know, just interesting people. So when you did $1 million, I'd take you down there for the weekend to Orlando and put you through the program. And it was the best part of my job was helping guys, you know, discovered a few heart conditions, saved some lives, but also extended their longevity in the business. I had a lot of guys say, you know what, I was going to quit. But with this, I feel great. And they felt horrible before.
Wow.
Yeah, there's your wow. And that's what you want. That's what you want back, which is what I got. And you can get that. You'll get a lot of thank you for saving my life and thank you. I'm going to stay in the business now. I was going to quit. It's a miracle. So that's why I can't put it in as big a way as I'd like to into Supernova, but it's there throughout. So we talk about energy and rituals. So everything that we do, you know that you only have so much, only so much discipline. But once you create habits, rituals that are in your best interest and reward you for doing them, you'll continue them. And it doesn't take any discipline to do them. In fact, it feels bad when you don't do them. So they become the controlling force in your life instead of cigarettes and coffee and alcohol and all the things that are not good habits that people create as rituals in their life.
Yes.
So we'll be, you'll enjoy this. And that's what Supernova is all about when you think about it. I mean, it's creating those rituals so that you don't have to think about what you're going to do. All you can do is you spend all your time the night before that day thinking about your client and creating a better experience for your client rather than them calling and they're not prepared, you're not prepared, and you just have a random phone call. With ours, every call is a class. Every call is an opportunity to educate your client and train them to be a better client and for them to have a better experience and become educated in some way which improves their experience and your experience. So every call becomes, we have an agenda for every call, we have the body of the call, and then we have an executive summary.
Okay. And
we have what we call our 24-month calendar, which you put together in a thoughtful way in order to educate your client and implement all the things that you didn't get around to when you did their financial plan. So every client with Supernova gets a financial plan, which creates an agenda. And then that agenda you get around to by doing this 24-month calendar. So we run the calendar typically for 2 months each topic. So we'll introduce eight training topics over a 24-month period, because we have calendar-driven topics and then we have event-driven topics. So coronavirus was an event-driven topic that superseded the topic of beneficiaries or insurance or something that we were going to talk about.
So right. That
gets bumped, and we implement the more important topic of coronavirus and managing during a bear market / bull market. So your life becomes much more of you being in control of almost everything except for the world you can't control, asteroids and coronaviruses.
Right. Okay. Right?
So that is what people love. The rituals of knowing if you look here at my work, right? So here's my day. Okay. I've got my background up, so I can't show it to you, but, if I was going to show you my folders. So all my folders are lined up there for today, Monday and Wednesday. So my day is all organized. I know exactly who I'm going to call. I know exactly where they are, what they're going to talk about. Everything is structured and set up. So I don't need to worry, you know, all the stress goes out of your life. But
Jen and I were talking about the folder thing the other day, and yep. I know that she had some, we were talking about how that really works. And maybe that's not a part of the week, you know, this is I guess this is officially our week two, because it's, you know, everything got pushed back because of what happened. And then the last call we made was a call to just say, hey, you know,
right.
Quick check in. So, you know, where we are as of now, I mean, I did the week two assignments that you sent over. I did order the Jim Lohr book.
Good.
So that should be here this weekend. You know, I highlighted in here a couple things. I highlighted in the natural niche and the target niche, and then I also highlighted the order folders as highlights of things I wanted to talk to you about.
So think of this as having a swim team. We spend 4 weeks on segmentation, 4 weeks on organization, and 4 weeks on acquisition. But even in week one, we got those three guys swimming down the swimming pool together, doing laps. So we got segmentation, organization, and acquisition all swimming at the same time. We don't have one guy swimming and the other two guys watching him. Now, with the team, this is very helpful, because you can segment yourselves, and one guy can be in charge of organization, one guy can be in charge of acquisition. But Jen can be in charge of organization, and you can be in charge of acquisition and segmentation. Both of you are in charge of segmentation. So when you think about it that way, it makes it more manageable. So every week I'll introduce something where each player gets a chance to use it. So acquisition, we introduced natural niches and target niches, because we've got 7 different strategies to introduce and only 12 weeks to do it until we go into our monthly calls. So I've got to introduce these things early, because in 4 weeks I can't introduce 7 things. It's too much. Your brain would explode.
Right.
Okay. So we begin ordering the folders and get ourselves organized, and Jen should be getting the scheduler from Cindy and getting trained on that. Okay.
Okay.
So
that's something I wanted to ask about. Is there a more electronic version of these folders?
Yeah, I know. If anything has happened, it's the frustration that we have with no simple version of Supernova folders that you can use. Now, when I talk to people, they're saying, oh, we're fine because we're using a particular software at the same time we're using the folders. So we're okay. So it just depends on what you're using. Outlook, you can take notes in Outlook, and Outlook works great with our Supernova scheduler. So what do you guys use besides, what do you use for a CRM system?
I just use our 3D.
And what is that? Does that give you an ability to, Rick, can you assign things to Jen and then she knocks them off and takes care of them?
Yeah, that's what we do. We'll do this as a task. So I can be in a client's account and then I create a task, and then the task creates something that then Jen can see with, and has a due date. It has notes from me. And it describes, you know, what we're trying to do. So if it's an IRA distribution or opening up a new account or, right, you know, an ACAT, whatever it is.
And everything that he would put into a task gets kept on that client's account in as an interaction with notes on the system. So it's nice because I can go to a client's account, and any time that Rick has talked with this person, he'll either have a note on it, or when he met with them, he needed me to do something, he would send me a task, and I can see the entire history to the beginning of time of what was, you know, being discussed with the client or being asked of me or somebody else on the account.
Okay, and what's the name of that? What do you call that?
Well, our program is called 3D. So it's like our account system, basically.
Yep.
That is the system where we do all of our trading. We do our client relationship management. I mean, everything is done pretty much through 3D. Now it is getting transitioned over into Salesforce or Workforce.
Salesforce, you know, I've got a team that's been using Salesforce for a long time now, and of course they swear by it, and they've pretty much gone electronic with Salesforce, and that allows them to pretty much do everything. So what's in the folder is information about the client. That's in the first page. The second page is a list of, it would depend. It's probably a profile of their financial plan. Third page, enthusiastically endorsed list of professional advisors with their phone numbers and who they are, et cetera. That you wouldn't have. That you'd have to create. You'd have introductions given and received. That's a great tool. We'll show you how to use that to increase your number of introductions by just keeping track of them and knowing when they gave them to you and so forth. And then you have the agenda for the call and then a place for notes. So those are the six pages that you have in the folder. Seems to me the enthusiastically endorsed list and the introductions given and received would be probably the only things. Would you have a place to put an agenda? And then we use an executive summary, which we don't keep in the folder. Well, we do kind of put it in the same place as the agenda to make sure that it gets done. So think of it as a board meeting, and the executive summary is kind of the minutes of what we discussed and what we agreed to. So that would be, that's a kind of a composite of what's in the folder.
That's something Cindy would send to Jennifer?
Yeah, it's in the workbook. You have a workbook, and in at the end of the workbook, there's a chapter. There are 12 chapters. Chapter 13 is scripts, and chapter 14 is the folder system. So we have the details of what the folders would look like. Okay. What should be on each page of the folders? So I'd love it if everybody were back.
I do have that. Cindy sent that earlier.
Yes, you should have it. You should each have a folder. And it'd be nice if you could print it out and keep it in a loose leaf binder, but if you don't have it, you can keep it electronically. It's fine too. As long as you can access it readily. So just think about it in terms of, you know, how you guys can get. You don't have to do it immediately with every client, but the idea that you send out an agenda to a client and then an executive summary is an amazing wow moment for them. They will freak out. They will love it.
So is that, so I'm looking in here at what Lori sent, and so, I mean, literally this goes back to, February, if you can believe it.
Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. The coronavirus.
I know. Everything changed quickly. So I'm looking, how many pages is the workbook?
It's, 109 or 114 pages, something like that.
Okay, so I'm not sure. I mean, I'm looking for that.
117 pages.
Okay, I have to find that because I honestly don't think that I have that.
Jennifer, do you have that?
Yeah, I think, yeah. I'll forward it to you, Rick.
Okay, because in there, you're saying that that's where we get this summary for doing the reviews. So as I'm doing reviews right now with clients, this would be a good template. Okay.
Cindy and I just finished, probably took, I don't know. Maybe we took 4 or 5 months updating the workbook. So it's
very current.
Okay.
You should have that email.
Okay.
All right. Do
you want to, I need to review the workbook. That's one.
Yeah, it's a gold. I mean, it's a gold mine. It's got everything in there. So,
okay.
You know, chapter one, this is what you're supposed to do. And it's got reading and everything. It's like a real workbook.
Okay.
And then, you know, chapter two, and then it tells you it's got homework, and it's pretty much aligned. We align now our homework with, between what Lori gives you and what I give you in the workbook. So we start to get a little divergence there, but it's everything is lined up now.
Okay.
So if you feel a little lost, you didn't have the map.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I should have had that. I mean, I have the book and I don't know. There was a lot going on. So I guess I just.
No, I completely understand. And we're supposed to make sure you have everything and know what's going on. But it did happen fast. And that last call, you and I were like, 4-1. Yeah. Right? Yeah. It was crazy. All right, let's spend 2 minutes and then we'll let you go on the natural niches and target niches.
Okay.
Natural niche is, it's, we talked about, let me go back a step. Centers of influence. That was the first week, basically. Centers of influence, you have two different kinds of centers of influence. You have your natural centers of influence that you already have that are clients that like you, trust you, and send you business without you asking. Some of them aren't even clients, you know, but they like you and trust you and send you business. Most of them are. And you want to make a list of those, right? So make a list and know how many there are, and then we're going to treat them special.
Okay.
And then you have your professional centers of influence. Those are what people typically talk about when they talk about centers of influence. And they would be CPAs, attorneys, commercial realtors, residential realtors, business brokers, other professionals that you can refer to them and they can refer to you. That's how we define a professional center of influence. Now, they're not a center of influence until they like you, trust you, and send you business without you asking. So up to then, they're a prospect to be a center of influence. So you want to make a list of the professional centers of influence that are real.
Okay.
That you have now. And then make a list of the ones that are prospects to be centers of influence that you have now. And then that's kind of an inventory of where are we now.
Okay.
Okay. And that's, you know, good news, bad news. The good news is these are our centers of influence. Bad news is we don't fill up the bucket. You know, we don't have enough. We want to have a minimum of 6 centers of influence. We don't want 60. We want 6.
Okay.
And we'll show you what we do with them. We treat them special. We basically give them 12-4-2. Make up a folder for each one of them and call them. And I've got some really fun ideas with this sucker, this Zoom. I think it's a golden opportunity to do some things marketing-wise that, you know, are just so inconvenient to do otherwise. So I'll talk to you about – remind me to talk to you about those.
Okay.
Now niches are either companies or a specialty that you have that you may – you have your natural niche. Like, I hired a guy from UPS. He was in the Treasury Department of UPS, so he was already a money guy. But UPS, I don't know if you remember, they went public, and people that never had any money all of a sudden had $5 million. So I hired him and he set up a practice solely on UPS professionals and everybody. So I ran a district, so I set up teams in every market that I had to go after UPS, and it exploded. That was a good example of the niche. We did that with Lilly. We did that with most of the major companies. So those would be examples of target niches. And again, your natural niche would be where you came from or what you did before you got into this business. So it just, you know, that's basically niches. And what you want is a center of influence inside each niche. You really don't have a niche until you have a center of influence inside the niche.
So okay. Morgan Stanley just signed a contract to help executives with executive comp plans, in particular stock bonus plans. And so my team, there's certain designated groups within the complex that are a part of that, and I'm one of those. So I'm just finishing up my test taking now for understanding the stock purchase programs. And I guess the next step in that would be Jen and I would figure out what companies are in central Pennsylvania that are a part of that.
Right.
And then it's finding out somebody within the company that we could use as a referral source, essentially.
Correct. Right. So, you know, there's stock purchase plans, there's stock option plans, there's all kinds of things that you guys do. The third leg of it would be financial planning for corporations. And you can set up a contract for that where you do all the financial planning for the company. You handle their stock options, their stock purchase plan, and their financial planning.
Okay.
So there's a lot to know, a lot to do, but I mean, that's basically the idea. And you've got kind of an in there, so that makes it, you know, attractive. You don't want little stock purchase plans. You want the opportunity to prospect people with a lot of money in their stock purchase plan.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So I think we covered enough. We run out of time quickly on these things, but, remind me of how to use this thing to create some excitement around prospecting. So I think it's a really good idea. Anyway.
Okay. So next steps for us. I mean, this is considered our second call. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's fine. Yep.
Okay. So we should be at this point doing what? Tightening up. I guess it sounds like to me working on the review outline that
we're going to start. Yeah, here's what I recommend. Take and draw a line at 100 clients. Okay, 100 households. So draw a line at 100 households and look below the line and see if there's a CEO or somebody you should keep.
Mm-hmm.
And then look above it and say, here's a jerk that I hate and I want to get rid of him.
Okay.
All right. And do it that way versus going from the bottom and, you know, reassigning five people. That drives you crazy. Now, you don't have to fire them all tomorrow. But the idea is I'm going to end up with 100 clients. Who do I want to put in the lifeboat when I leave? Right?
Right.
And so first come, first serve. These are the most important people. Let's get 100 of the best people in that lifeboat before we get off. So that's really knowing who's important to you, and then delivering a great client experience to them is the most important thing that you can do. What you do with the rest of them, that's up to you. You can reassign them to somebody else. You can send them to a call center. You can hire another FA. You can do whatever you want, but you want to get skinny, and if you keep them around, that doesn't help Jen at all.
Okay.
And so think of her as you know, your other brain and your other arms. So anything she's doing that isn't spending time with that top 100 is frankly wasting your time.
Okay.
All right. So just kind of get your arms around that, and then you'll have time for your passion. The 3D program.
Okay.
No, not the 3D. What was it? What'd you call
Wisdom,
it?
Wisdom One.
Wisdom the One, right.
3D program is the...
There you go. I got a circle. I got to put a little box around Wisdom One. That's the most important one. Okay. Rick, Jennifer, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.